Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Approaching retirement? The specifics of retirement differ for everyone, but the broad goal is to have the financial freedom to live your life in comfort. It is increasingly important to have an executable plan that grows and protects your assets. If you have questions about your retirement that you'd like to ask directly to Steve or Justin, they set aside time each day to answer specific questions. You can send them a note. Just click on Contact Steve or Justin on InvestTalk.com. End of commercial. And now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. It is November 2nd, 2016. And of course, we're here every day to try to help the average investor achieve above average results in their investing. We want you to be better than average. And that's hopefully what we can do is share some knowledge and make us all better, me included. So now you pretty much set, we have set the topics. The topics for every show is really set by you, not by me. Now, I'll talk about things, but you can set the tone, the topic, and the direction of the show. Now, I have, the list of talking points I have on the table. Does it... And I will talk to them. But does it seem there is more news these days that cause you to wonder about your retirement plan? Do you sense there's more risk than normal? Because I when I talk to people and they talk to me, I get this feeling that more people are more worried than they probably should be. And do you wonder if you're being too conservative? Now, there's all kinds of distractions out there, and that's going to be one of our talking points today. Investing distractions can cost you lots of money. So we're going to talk about that. And distractions are not following the plan. News items pop in and pop out, and it worries you. You need to have a plan and just stick to it. Of course, that's what is going to be our main talking point. But my first order of business today is try to save you $10. I know it's not a lot of money, but it's money. We'll be hosting our next wealth conference on Saturday, November 12th, 9 a.m. in the morning to 12 noon at the Hyatt House in the San Jose. And we're offering an early bird discount, and that runs until November 5th. And then you don't get to save that $10. So save the $10 off the $45 admission price by signing up early. And the topic... There's 100% certainty for 2017 that there will be change. How bad? How much? Well, we're going to talk about the changes that appear to be going to be effective next year. Changes in how we invest, changes on the economy. How should we respond? One thing we can pretty clearly say, because we've already seen it this year, is you're going to have a change from growth investing to value investing. It seems like it. And I'm pretty clear that the central bank policy, not only ours here with the Fed, but around the world, is changing. How's that going to affect everything? That's what we're going to talk about at this wealth conference. And we'll get into some specifics. I mean, very specific, so you'll know that it's not just, gloss over the ideas. Now, we're going to get some specifics. Remember, if you sign up before the 5th of November, you can take $10 off the $45 ticket price, so it costs you $35. And you can sign up right now on investtalk.com. Now, do you have questions about our conference? Well, we can talk about any money questions, even that, if you want. You can always call on our 24-hour listener line. It's open all the time. So 888-99-CHART is the number. So let's get to the Q&A portion of the program, and here's a caller.
I have a question, or hoping that you can give me an opinion on variable life insurance. I have a variable life insurance that I started in 2004. The value had gone up to about $24,000 in 07, and I just checked with the company, and it's now at about $13,000. And I asked what would be the fees if I just wanted to cash out the policy, and they basically would keep $8,000, and I would get $3,000 So I'm not sure if I should just let it, you know, let it ride or go ahead and take the $3,000, being that it's a variable life. I've heard that it's really not a recommendable. Thank you for your response.
And she just gave the reasons why I don't like them. I don't have to try to unsell it. It's not a good investment, variable life insurance policy. They pretend it's an investment wrapped up in a life insurance policy. If you need life insurance, buy life insurance. And I always recommend term life. Strict with insurance. That's okay. But they kind of try to mix them in. They've been doing this very popular with mixing them in with variable life, annuities, and mixing insurance and investment products. I really don't like it. I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong from the get-go, okay, from the start. And this is one of the reasons. You know, people look at their variable life and they say, oh, look, it's worth X amount of dollars. And it's not. Even if it was, she said it went from 27,000 at the top of the market down to 13,000. Well, the market's near the top right now. It's close to its all-time high. It's only a few percentage, like 5-10 points off the all-time high percentage points. So why did it go from 27 down to 13? And now, if you cash it in, she says, well, they're going to take 8, so she's going to get 4 or so. Why? Why is that? Many times, it's because many of these policies are tax-deferred, but not tax-free. And you don't know what the tax bill will be until you try to cash them out. So you get a false sense of what it's worth. She thought it was worth $13,000. No. She's only going to get 4. Should you get out? Well, I would. I think it's a waste of premium dollars. Put that money, go buy a term life policy for whatever you need, and then put the rest of the money in an index fund, S&P 500, and just keep doing it like you were paying the premium. You'll be a lot further off. Better off in the future if you would do that. I just don't like them. I used to be in the insurance business, and I still don't like them. I've never bought life insurance in my life. Why? Well, because I didn't really think I needed it. I didn't be married. I don't have children. I paid down my mortgage. I just never thought I needed it. So I only buy life insurance if there's a need. Children, is a big need if you have children. There's no question. Investing distraction can cost you a lot. That's going to be our main talking point today. You didn't probably notice, but there was a Fed meeting. It happened today. They announced. Everybody notice that? Notice how low-key that was? I want to talk about it just briefly if we can. Why we have been, and then another talking point I want to discuss is why has there been 7 straight losing days for stocks? Do you realize that's the longest streak since 2011? Let's look at that 7-day number and go back in history, and I'll share some statistics. It's kind of interesting. And what are Americans afraid of? What's the top, 10 things Americans are afraid of? This is a survey by Chapman University. 1,511 adults were polled. What are Americans afraid of? I'm not just talking about investments. I'm talking about in general. What are they afraid of? Interesting results, I think. So we're going to share that too. And of course, you come first. I mean, then we want to talk to you about what you want to talk about. The market was down again today. As I said, 7 days in a row. Dow was down 77. The NASDAQ was down 48. And the S&P down 14. It was worse than that during the day and came back. And I find that, the market has been down 7 days in a row. And our dollar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, has been down out of the last same seven days, the market has been, the dollar down like 6 of those 7 days. The dollar. Why is it falling? Interesting. That's what we're going to talk about. Now, of course, you come first, so what do you want to talk about? Do you know the difference between term life and whole life, by the way, or universal life? You know the difference between those policies? Before you go buying them, maybe you should understand the difference. When you sign up to be an Invest Talk Insider, you get instant access to an entire library of info sheets, and there's one on life insurance. I wrote it. I know. These are very informative little sheets. Plan. So it's completely free. You get checked in right there. You can check in right there at investtalk.com.
Hi, this is Vinod from Kansas. I love your show and keep listening when I have time. I have a question about stock TWLO, Twilo, which is downtrending too fast. I bought in mid-45, but I was wondering if they have a support system down or it's going to go up. Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, it's called Twilo Inc., TWLO, provides a cloud-based platform that enables developers to build, scale, and operate real-time communications. It's a $2.9 billion market cap, It came out public in June, okay, maybe July, right? End of June, beginning of July. And it came out at a price, the first trading was like in the $25 range. Okay, the IPO was $15, and then it went up to $70, and now it's down to $34. This is the problem. They don't make money. They don't make any money. They're not going to make money this year. They're not going to make money next year. They're going to lose 11 cents next year per share, and they're losing 27 cents per share. Why do people buy it? Why did they run it up from 15 to 70? Well, because they're crazy. It's not worth that. But the sales has skyrocketed between 70-80% growth per quarter. But is that worth $3 billion? No. It's not going to make any money, so how do you know how much it's worth? Now, you asked, where do I think it might find support? Oh, probably around the $27 range. It's hard to tell because it's not been around long enough. It's a brand new IPO. And I tell people, and I'll remind people again, you don't buy IPOs. You don't buy them even within 6 months of the going public because that's when the insiders can start to sell. You need to have some track record. Now, does that mean you never can buy an IPO? No, I'm not saying that. You can take a flyer. You can take a flyer on this one, which you've done. But you also take huge risks. So make sure you understand that you could lose most or all your money on these things. Not for me. I would never buy this. It would never come into my sphere of thinking about buying. They don't make money. I don't buy companies that don't make money. Not my cup of tea. It's too new. I don't know what their technology can do. I don't know. Now, if they can maintain that growth of sales, they should turn around their profits in the next few years, and then it's going to be worth something. But I can't. I don't even think it's worth $15 at the IPO price yet. So, not a good buy. TWLO is the symbol. 888-992-4278 is our number. I'd love to talk to you, whatever's on your mind. Our main talking point today is investing distractions that can cost you big, cost you a lot of money. And the article that I'm referring to that you can see on our website talks about the long-term history of the market. Short-term, markets go up and down, up and down. The thing that causes bear markets are recessions. The thing that causes corrections are these distractions, short-term things that people get worried about. For instance, there's a built-in assumption that Clinton will win, and if Trump wins the presidency, the market will probably have a short-term fit. That should be looked at as a buying opportunity. It doesn't mean the economy is going to go down the tubes or go into recession. Those are the things you really want to study is recessions. When would it possibly go into recession? But worrying about the Fed raising rates or even the Brexit, remember how much worry there was over the Brexit? Those kinds of things are one time and should be looked at as buying opportunities. Now, for right now, there's lots of fear, right, about politics. We know that the bonds are way, way, way off because the interest rates are so low. We know that. So we want to look for opportunities because politics and bonds, low, low interest rates, does not necessarily make a recession. They'll make for corrections, but not recession. So this article is about distractions. If you have a long-term plan, you don't even care about recessions. You stick with the plan that you put together. That's it. You can read the article on our website called Investment Distractions. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. This is Eric in Utah. I had a question about Calmaine Foods, ticker symbol CALM. It looks like from a technical perspective, it's at a pretty good support level right now at around $38. Wondering what you thought about it, its fundamentals, and if you see this as a good buy point, or if you would wait for it to drop a little bit further, or if you even like it at all. Anyway, love your show. I will listen to your response. Thanks. Goodbye.
Okay, Calmaine Foods, CALM is their symbol, C-A-L-M, produces shell eggs that are distributed in the Southwest, Southeast, Midwest, Mid-Atlantic regions of the U.S. Eggs. It's a food company. And I'll tell you this, we have been leaning this year on commodities, and we have two, three food stocks. This is not one of them, but we do have them. And I'll tell you this again, I'll say that I kind of like this stock, but you look at a chart, you go, ooh, that doesn't look so good. But I agree, I think we've seen a bottom, but it just recently made that bottom in October. But I think we've seen it. They're going to make, in 2016, they're going to make $6.53 a share, and the stock is $37.85. That is very misleading. Okay? That really, it is misleading. Don't necessarily buy into that. Next year, they're going to make $0.37 a share. So that can tell you why the stock has been crushed. 2018, estimates are out, and they think it's going to be $2.65. This is the problem you have with this company. It's all over the board. It's sales, it's earnings, up and down. That's the problem you have in trying to figure out what's a true value. Now, from a technical point of view, I think this might be the bottom they put in here in November, which is right around, you know, $37, $36.50, somewhere around there. That could be the bottom, but I don't think we have enough evidence to tell us that that is the bottom. What I would wait for is a break above maybe the 20-day moving average, which right now is $40.76. I would wait for it to break above that before I consider buying it. And that way, at least I can say, well, I waited until it showed some strength breaking above a 20-day moving average. And then, but I do like the sector. I do. So at $2.65, if they're making that in 2018, if that's true, it's a $37 stock, you know that the P.E. is right around 13 or so. Well, that doesn't make it necessarily cheap because its five-year range is 6 to 19. But the return on equity is very high at 39%. Cash flow is very high at $7.43. Management owns 26%. There's things I like about it, but it's one of those things you got to show me. And I mean, I want to see it breaking above the 20-day moving average before I would even consider it. Now, I wouldn't consider it because I have other issues and I don't want any more in this area of the market. CALM, C-A-L-M, Calmaine Foods, Inc. 888-99-CHART. So you probably didn't notice, but the Fed had its normal meeting that it has every, 5 weeks or so? 2-day meeting. They came out with their statement today. No one even cared, even thought about it. It was an afterthought. They could have raised rates today. Right? But everybody's been talking, they're going to raise rates in December. So no one really paid attention to today's release. But it was a vote 8-2 to leave the rates alone. They left them alone. No big surprise there. And their statement was, the committee says that the case to raise rates is gaining strength. Right. Remember, my belief is they should have started raising rates at the beginning of this year. And then they should have at least two increase in rates this year. And I know that the economy is not that strong, but if they're going to fight the next recession with higher rates, they got to get them above where they are now. They're 0.25 to 0.50. Normalization would be around 3, and I don't expect them to get up that high before the next recession. But you need to be in the one to two range, and to get it above one, you need 4 more rate increases at the rate they do it. You know, everybody is getting used to, I need to warn you, everybody's getting used to that the Fed just increases rates at a quarter point each time. They don't have to do that. They can raise it higher and faster. Why would they raise them higher and faster? Why? Inflation. If inflation started to take hold, they would be raising them faster. There would be market consternation about them raising rates maybe a half a percent instead of a quarter percent. But we don't see inflation. There's no inflation yet. It's not on the horizon. So they have it. The Fed has a lot of freedom to do it at a very slow pace because they're not being pushed by inflation. And they're not being pushed by a very strong economy. So there's really no reasons to raise rates. There really isn't a valid reason to raise rates other than it's abnormally low. Now, that is a valid reason to get them to a normalization. But the Fed also looks at the rest of the world. It's very difficult. The rest of the world, some parts are negative rates. Man, because their economies are doing very poorly. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. And, of course, you're listening to Invest Talk.
What are value stocks? What makes them different than growth stocks? Or what's your question? Why not ask it right now? 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk. We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Remember, as you listen to this podcast, that Invest Talk is produced live every weekday. So if you call our anytime number between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time, you can get through and talk to Steve and Justin. Ask your question, even a follow-up question. It's your podcast, too. Join the conversation, 888-99-CHART. You're listening to Invest Talk for Wednesday, November 2nd. These debt obligations are for investors looking for a walk on the wild side. How to buy exchange-traded notes. That's next time. Have a question for Steve right now? You can get through. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him from anywhere in the USA.
I had a question about loaded versus non-loaded mutual funds. And, you know, obviously the prudent guy would air towards the non-loaded funds to kind of save money. But I recently read something on like A shares versus B shares and some of those arguments, and I was kind of confused on, what is the actual benefit of a loaded fund, or is there any?
Right. Very few benefits, but one benefit that we can talk about to buy a loaded fund, and for everybody else, load means a commission, paying 5%. A shares, an A share mutual fund pays about 5% upfront commission. So that's called a load. And one of the benefits about buying a mutual fund that has a load is the manager managing that fund has done very, very well over the years, both in up markets and down markets. He goes up faster in an up market and he goes down slower in a down market. And he's proven his worth. Then you can buy an A-shares mutual fund. But generally speaking, you can buy just as many good managers in no-load funds as there are loaded funds. And just one other clarification point. He mentioned A-shares and C-shares. A-shares is a commission up front, 5% usually. C-shares is 1% a year for 5 years at the end of the year, each of those years. Which one's more expensive, do you think? If you say they're the same price, you're wrong. Usually the C-shares are more expensive. Because hopefully the value of your fund has been going up for 5 years. And they're getting 1% a higher value every year if the fund is making money. So what would be better would be the upfront. But, of course, the best is don't buy a loaded fund at all. You don't need to. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So why have we had 7 straight days in a row, down days in a row for the stock market? Why? And what does this mean historically? Is there any significance? Well, obviously that 7 days down straight are all politics, right? Just think about what happened 7 days ago. You know, you're hearing more, you know, Clinton is going down in the polls and Trump is going up. The market doesn't care for that. They have a built-in biased that Clinton was going to win. So now that it's tightening up, it's making them investors a little bit nervous. But what about historically? Seven straight days. How often does that happen? Okay. Well, it's happened 92 times since 1928. Seven straight days in a row. One thing that's interesting about these 7 days that we've had, it has been very shallow, down 2.5% over 7 days. That's not very much, because the average of those 92 times since 1928, the average down amount down or given back for the S&P 500, 6.2%. And we've only had 2.5. Interesting, huh? October of 2008, which wasn't all that long ago, remember the financial crisis, we had seven down days in a row, and the market fell 22%. Ho, ho, ho. That was painful. The smallest move is in 1964. I was 12. Yeah, you can do the math. You can do the math. See how old I am. The market went down 1.4%. 1.47 straight down days. Now, being down 2.5% in 7 days in this day and age, that's very, very little. I mean, really, it's very shallow. Can you take away any conclusions from this? Not really. It's just an interesting factoids. And don't ask me why I find it interesting, but I do. I find these factoids interesting. I really do believe that accumulation of all these facts makes up a picture. A picture of the economy, a picture of the stock market. And even though the picture might be fuzzy, at least it's a picture. You can then make some decisions what you see. So, we'll see, won't we, what will happen. I think I've told you enough times, I think if Trump pulls out a big surprise, the market's not going to like it. If Hillary wins like the market expects, I don't expect the market to do much. Not going to be really happy and not going to be really sad, I think, because it's expected. It's always the unexpected that drives markets up or down. Time for Investor Personal, the day-to-day financial choices that can have a lasting impact. Yahoo Finance posted a worthwhile piece just recently written by Jeff Rose. It's called 11 Financial Behaviors You Don't Want Your Kids to Learn From You. 11 financial behaviors you don't want your kids to learn from you. You operate with a budget, without a budget. You operate without a budget. Kids, you don't want your children to grow up without knowing how to operate with a budget. Debt is your friend, meaning you use debt a lot. Not too smart and not a good thing to teach your kids. If your friends have it, you need it. Keeping up with the Joneses, not too smart. Credit cards are a way of life. That's the debt thing. You always buy debt. Debt's bad. I don't mind using credit cards. I think you should use a credit card, but pay it off every month. Or how about you deserve the best things in life? Well, everybody deserves the best things in life, but can you afford it? That means you pay cash. And one of my things I've always done all my life, which has worked out pretty well, is I never buy a car unless I can pay cash for it. Why? Why not? Why? If you can't, you're buying too much car. You're spending too much money. How about this? You don't want your kids' behavior to learn. Never talking about money. My family, we never talked about money growing up. Never. Even though I knew we were poor because, you know, there's times we were hungry. But, you know, never talked about it. Or how about, you know, eat and drink and be merry now, for tomorrow we all die. In other words, you don't save for the rainy day. You don't save for retirement. Always taking advantage of a sale. Cracks me up. I saved 20% because it was on sale. No, you spent money on that. You didn't save anything. That kind of stuff. Those are the kind of things that you don't want your kids to learn. You really don't. That's InvestTalk Personal. We have a link to this article right under our talking point on InvestTalk.com. Do you have a comment? Excuse me. Do you have a comment on the topic? A personal experience you might want to share? Love to hear it. 888-99-CHART.
How much time does it take to properly manage a retirement portfolio? Do I need a living trust? How much life insurance should I have? Should beginners start with individual stocks? How much of my portfolio should be in dividend-paying stocks? All important questions. If you're looking for answers, you're welcome to ask the financial questions that are important to you. 888-99-CHART is our direct line.
Hi, Stephen and Justin. This is Steve from Daly City. Really love your guys' show. And had a quick question on an ETF, stock ticker symbol FUTY. It's Fidelity Cummington Trust, and it corresponds to the utilities. I was wondering what your thoughts were on holding this for the next 12 to 18 months. Look forward to listening to your answer on the show. Take care.
I would not recommend it. I would not recommend utilities right now. Exchange traded fund seeking the results corresponding to the U.S. utilities index. Okay, why do I say that? Because utilities are usually a pretty solid, a pretty high dividend payers. In this space, 3.3%. All that's true. They are, usually are pretty solid, and you know they pay a nice dividend. The reason why I'm concerned about it is because the direction of interest rates. I do think interest rates start to creep up. And that utilities usually borrow money to build out their utilities or to pay the dividend or whatever. They borrow money. They're borrowers of money. Any companies that kind of have debt, I think we got to be very careful of going forward, because debt is going to start costing them a bit more than it has in the past. I'm not saying that the interest rates are going to skyrocket. No, nothing like that. Just be more expensive, and therefore companies that are, you know, use debt might suffer because of it. Now, the only ones that use debt that won't will probably be the banks, because banks borrow cheap money and then lend it out. Well, they can raise their rates they lend out, and they can make actually more money going forward with a little bit higher cost of debt. But other companies, not so much. So FUTY, Fidelity MSCI Utilities, Miscellaneous Utilities. So, not my cup of tea in this environment. 888-99-CHART, 888-9924278. We had some economic news out today. The ADP jobs report, they expected to be, now remember, ADP is the private sector jobs report. They report on the private sector job, not public, not combined. And this is usually this report comes out 2, 3, 4 days before the official report. And it was a little bit disappointing. They expected it to be about 200,000 jobs, and it was about 175. So it was a little disappointing on the number of the jobs. The official number comes out, what, I think Friday? Or is it Monday? But pretty soon. And when that official number, well, that would include both private and public sector jobs. So that doesn't mean a lot. Well, we've seen unemployment claims being continue to be pretty low. If we're producing jobs, we produce a little fewer than we expected last month, the month before, but we're still producing them, and it's okay. So I don't think this jobs report is going to do much. Too much focus on the election. Yeah, that's coming up next week. Yeah, so I don't think the jobs report is going to be headline news of any kind, unless it's some big surprise, up or down. So we'll see. We'll see how that comes. 888-99-CHART, what are Americans afraid of? I want to get to that talking point before the end of the hour. I really do. There's a survey by Chapman University. They surveyed 1,511 adults. They polled and asked them what they're afraid of. What's the top number one thing, do you think? Of course, you know, InvestTalk is a two-way conversation, but if you have a question between programs, you can still ask it, and we'll play it on the next InvestTalk. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Question on reverse mortgage. Does it make sense to take that money and invest it in, say, income property?
Well, on a reverse mortgage, just so everybody knows, you're borrowing against your house money that you never have to pay back. As long as you live in the house, and you never move, And the money, the mortgage, and the amount you borrowed goes up and up and up because you're not paying any mortgage payment, but that mortgage payment you should be paying is being added every month. So the amount you borrow goes up and up over time. But you never have to pay it off as long as you live in that house. You never have to do anything. And it's a non-recourse loan, meaning that they only can, you know, if it happens to be that you live for to be 130 years old and you never had to pay a dime back, you may owe more than the house is worth. Too bad. They can't come after any other assets, just the house. Does it make sense to borrow on a reverse mortgage and go buy a property? Well, the only way it makes sense is you can't borrow it on your own without doing a reverse mortgage. No one's going to lend you the money for one reason or another. Because a reverse mortgage is an expensive mortgage. That's expensive money. The only benefit is you don't ever have to pay it back. So you could borrow $500,000. What's the limit these days? I don't know what the limit is. But let's say you can borrow $200,000-$300,000. And then you could take that $200,000-$300,000, go buy a rental property. And the rental property pays you income of $2,000 a month. Well, then you get to put that in your pocket because you don't have to pay the reverse mortgage back. You see how that works? But that loan value keeps going up and up and up. Now, there are people that think that's a good strategy, and there's people that think it's a not-so-good strategy. I'm one of the not-so-good strategy people. I think a reverse mortgage is fine, but it's a last resort to help you live comfortably in your house as you get old and you don't have the assets or the income anymore. So I'm not a big fan of borrowing money on a reverse mortgage and go buy an asset called a property. Now, if the mortgage was really cheap, the loan, I might consider it. But they're not cheap. They're usually expensive. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you hear Justin talk to me today about some plan that the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, and I haven't looked into it, a plan that they want to have trades that cost, has a spread, automatic spread of a nickel per stock. In other words, I don't know much about it. But on the surface, it sounded kind of like a ripoff to me. I'm going to look into that. There's experimenting with that. You know, probably don't remember, but we used to trade on the exchanges in 16ths and quarters and halves as a spread. You'd make an offer, a bid of quarter, 25 and 1/16, 25 and, you know, 3/16. And before it went, because of electronic, we could do in pennies. Okay, and then it went all pennies. So that sounds like it's an effort to do that. And what it sounds like is an effort for Wall Street to make more money. That's what it sounds like to me. So I'm going to have to check into that, and I'll report back. You're listening to Invest Talk. Now I have a partner managing your 401k at work. It's a new program from us, KPP Financial. It's called My 401k. Find out more about it on InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab and then My 401k. Chart. We're going to go talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you. Steve, I was wondering what's your opinion. I was thinking about shorting Tesla.
Shorting Tesla?
What's your opinion might be, yeah.
I do think it's overvalued. Has been, though, for ever since it existed. You know, it doesn't make money. Not going to make money this year. Not going to make money next year. Hasn't made money last year. Yeah, it's just not going to make money. But its sales are growing very fast. And so that's always, you know, a catalyst for the stock to go higher. But too many people are in love with Tesla. They think, I don't want to give everybody the wrong impression, Mike. I like Tesla. I like the company. I think they got a great product. I think they could be the next big auto company. I like all those things. But, you know, I like it at a reasonable price. Yeah. And I think the price is totally unreasonable at $188 a share. Now, that's down from, what, $265 or so? It was in April, so it's already come down. I think it recently broke support, so I think you still, I think it got down to $150 easy.
Okay. Right. I'm thinking 172 or so just to for a quick trade.
Yeah, I could see that very easily, especially, you know, they're buying, you know, they're buying Solar City, right? I mean, that's their big thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a terrible idea, but you know, Musk is a much smarter guy than I am, so I might be totally off base here, but I just don't see the synergies that other people see. And I would like to see them, but I don't. They both are using electricity. That's the only synergy you got. But how is the car company going to use solar panels in any significant way to generate electricity for the car? That's not going to happen. You know, there's just not enough room on it.
Do you see a resistance or a support at a certain price that?
Yeah, really.
150?
Yeah, about 140, 145 is where there's pretty strong support. That's why I think it'll go down to about 150.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks for Mike. I appreciate it. That's Tesla. TSLA is the symbol. And if it gets cheap enough, I could be a buyer, even though I'm not a big fan of auto companies. I never have been. But I do think Tesla is going to be a big auto company. I just would not pay for it. It doesn't make you money. Okay. How many times have I told you on this show, I don't buy companies that don't make money? Doesn't make money. It made money in 2013 and 2014. It made 78 cents in 2013 and 14 cents in 2014. Since then, it's losing money. It's going to lose less money next year than this year, but it's going to lose $2.03 a share this year. And it needs to borrow or somehow finance another $1.5 billion to build out the plants for the next model car, the Model 3, whatever it is, the next every man's sedan electric car. And that's if it works. Remember, everybody else, Toyota, every other car company is in this space going to try to compete like heck against Tesla. So there's going to be lots of competition. Anyways, what are Americans afraid of? What are they afraid of? I'm not talking about just stock market or anything like that. I'm just general fear. What are they afraid of? This is a survey by Chapman University, 1,511 adults. They polled them. 60% say corrupt government. 60% response. Okay, I'm going to give you them in order. Corrupt government was number one. Number two was a terrorist attack. Number three, running out of money. So that's number three, running out of money. You're more worried about a corrupt government or a terrorist attack. Huh. I find that very interesting. Then the next one after that is being a victim of terrorism. Then gun control. Now, this amazes me. Number five is gun control. You're afraid of gun control and not having enough gun control? The number six makes sense. A loved one dying. I'm afraid of that. I don't want a loved one dying. So economic collapse, ID theft, a loved one who becomes serious ill. And then number 10, affordable health care. Our time is up for this hour. Remember to save the date for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming up in November 12th. November 12th, 9 to noon in San Jose. If you sign up by midnight November 5th, you can take $10 off the $45 ticket price. You can sign up online at investtalk.com. Do it right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, I want to thank you for listening today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.